Hey, welcome to Show and Tell with the Two Mortgage Guys. We come to you live every Tuesday on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Today we have with us Melissa Reed and Erica Hawkins from the Wyman Group. Stick around.
Joining us today are Erica Hawkins and Melissa Reed, realtors with the Wyman Group. Erica has been a realtor with the Wyman Group since 2014. She has two dogs, Barry and Nyla, and a cat named Midnight. She enjoys supporting local businesses in the Kokomo and her hometown of Peru area, going to concerts and trips to the beach. Who doesn't like a good trip to the beach? Melissa has been with the Wyman Group for a little over 10 years and has been on the Wyman team for the last three. She has two children, Jake, 19, and Grace, 16. Melissa has been the chairwoman for the Haynes Apperson Parade for the last 6 years. Melissa enjoys kayaking, live music, and being with friends and family. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah.
I didn't know you liked to kayak. How have we never kayaked together?
I don't know, but we should. I love it.
We go all the time. We didn't really get out much this year for whatever reason, but historically, the last 5 or 6 years, we go all the time.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, hey, thanks for being on the show. We're going to talk about the crazy real estate industry. 2022, you know, we saw rates in the twos to rates in the sevens. We saw homes hitting the market and selling within an hour above asking price to now maybe being on the market for what, 30 days?
2 hours, maybe.
Yeah. We've seen seller paid buy downs. We've seen escalation clauses. Like, we've been all over the place. So let's kind of talk about how this year, you know, went and what we're forecasting for next year. What's your guys' take on 2022?
So it's definitely been a lot. I guess a couple of things that we really noticed was who had control of the market. So 6-8 months ago, you know, sellers had a lot of the control of the market. I mean, they were naming their prices. They were in the negotiations. Mm-hmm. When you look at closer to today, we're kind of seeing a shift in that. Buyers are not as afraid to, you know, offer at asking price or under asking price. You know, they're not afraid to negotiate more when it comes to their offers. So yeah, like you said, escalation clauses, appraisal gaps. I mean, buyers, they felt like they had to, you know, add all those items in there to get their offer accepted, and it was getting a little out of control, but it seems like it's calming down a little bit since then.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about that, everything, and that all happened this year, right? So like, It's never happened before, so like, at least we got to be in the industry and the history that it's making with mm-hmm. all the ups and downs and the spikes. To see that on a chart 2 or 3 years from now is going to be a little interesting.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We've had a shift, you know, from when was the height? Like, when was the height of the market from a seller's advantage, right? So like, when the sellers were at top demand, when do you think that was in this year? Was it July, August?
May, June.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of funny because like, you guys see things ahead of us a little bit. Or behind, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it is, but we're on like slightly delay from the lending side to the buyers and seller side.
Right.
Just from April, days on the market was an average of 33. And then in May, it went down to 16. And it stayed at 16 in May and June, mm-hmm. 18 in July. So it was May, June, and July was really crazy busy, really active.
And that's a higher number than I would have guessed even.
Mm-hmm. That's the lowest. Yeah.
I mean, because if that's the average, that means there were definitely homes selling like right away. I mean, how many buyers did we have, all of us, that we put an offer on a house the first day it came out and they didn't get it? I mean, we had multiple people pre-approved this summer that were almost heartbroken by the end of it because they had written on 5 or 6 homes above asking price and then they couldn't get their offer accepted.
Right. It was exhausting.
That was me. And even yeah. being a realtor and being able to see them when they come out firsthand.
Yep.
I wrote an offer on 4 homes and got the 5th one.
Nuts.
Yeah. Hey, Melissa, when you were talking about the days on the market, does that is that just like from that time, like Ryan said, from the time you guys list it to the time they get an offer on it, or does it have any other days in there that takes time in for anything?
I think it's just from list date to accepted purchase agreement. Yeah. Or actually, no, I take that back. It's probably from the list date to the closing date, I would say. 16 days, probably closing.
Yeah, because I notice sometimes it'll be like pending or something. So I didn't know if that's still counting days in it or how that works on it. That'll be on the next show for a topic. Yeah, so what's interesting, so then where we at, so you back us up to where we were at like in February, March, April, when it started to drop down on the days on the market. Where were we at today at the end of the year, November, October, November, December?
So currently, well, for November, the average days was 28 for the month of November.
We doubled.
Yeah.
And that's still not, you know, that's pretty quick, right? I mean, if you guys think back historically, I mean, this is when we were selling homes like crazy, crazy fast, that's one thing. But, you know, what did 2015, 2018, 2020 look like? I'm curious what those average days were. I bet they were closer to 30 plus.
I would say so, yeah.
So what's the expectation you're setting right now? If you're talking to somebody that wants to put their home on the market, they're going to price it, you know, fair, right? They're not going crazy above. What's a realistic expectation you think for them to have that home in contract anyways?
Realistically, I think 3 weeks, maybe. It's not super active, like, you know, immediate. Yeah.
Do you have anything on the number of listings for Howard County? Do you know what we have?
Like inventory. Where were you sitting at on the inventory size? Is it still low?
Yeah. Well, not considerably. I'll tell you here just 1 second.
Because we were like back in that peak performance area back in whatever May, June, July area when they were going quicker, like inventory at that same point, it was just going quick, wasn't it? I mean, somebody'd list, they'd get an offer, list an offer. So it really wasn't, I just didn't know if there were still as many listings. They were just going quicker than what it is now.
There's 127, which is considerably higher than what we've been at all summer.
Right. Yeah. Which is not bad, right? I mean, that's good to get a little bit of inventory out there now so we get a little bit more mixture, some more buyers that it can start to look at those properties.
Yeah. I think there was, in May and June, I think we were down to maybe like 27.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It was very low.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I think that was something, it might have been when we had Paul on or something early on, that there was something with the amount that was just ridiculously low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like Tipton County had none.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything they have now is like an improvement, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like 200% more.
It had to improve. Right.
So what do you think caused that market to kind of slow, you know, to finally kind of like peak in reverse direction? Do you think is these interest rates?
Was it? Oh, yeah. I think the interest rates have a lot to do with it. I've had a couple of buyers have to go back and update their approval letters, and then they go back to update it and they can only afford, you know, they're down $30,000 from what they were originally approved for. So that's kind of slowed people down too, I think.
But I also think that sometimes people have that mindset of they don't want the interest rate to get any higher, so they want to act right now. And so there still is a little bit of an urgency in that aspect, I think.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's still the uncertainty, right? But I think we've all been to that same point when we're talking to them on our side as lenders and you guys as the realtors on your side, that if it's the right house, right, now's the time to buy it. Because it's an investment, right? And even, you know, at that same point, it's going to continually increase in value. People just sometimes can't wrap their head around that. But there's been more times in my life when I invested money into mutual funds that the rates were not where I wanted them to be at, but over mm-hmm. the long period of time, if you look at that curve in like 10-year period, then you're in good shape with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and you got to think about the alternative too. I mean, for many people, if they're not buying, they're continuing to rent, and they're losing 100% of that money every month.
Right.
Right. Where owning can be more of a long-term thing, but I mean, look, you got to live somewhere. Yeah. So you're still, and the other thing too, is we are in such an affordable part of the country. I mean, Indiana in general, mm-hmm. you can get so much more home here than you can just about anywhere else. You really need to take advantage of that.
Right.
I think about people who live in some of these crazy markets, you know, these California or Arizona, mm-hmm. Texas, some of these places where it's like, man, or East Coast, like, I don't even know how they do it. Like, I literally don't know how they make those mortgage payments every month or rent.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy run amount. So look, if we're going to endure the weather, right, we got to put up with this winter. We at least get to live nice.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
I guess you got, that's the weighing scale you got to look at. Hey, and Ryan brought that up. We had Mark Fisher on, the CEO of Indiana Association of Realtors, a couple weeks ago. And he had did that same thing where he had some charts he shared with us. And one of them that was interesting was like on the property taxes. So Indiana's the second lowest in the United States, mm-hmm. only behind New Mexico. So with property taxes, so that's like the benefit of being able to be here. Like Ryan said, if we're, because we've got friends that are all over the United States in the business, that they, it's just like, it's crazy when they say, oh yeah, property taxes are $30,000 a year. And it's just standard for somebody.
Can you imagine? I can't even imagine.
You know what happens sometimes? We get calls from clients and they said, hey, why did my payment just go up $150 a month or whatever? Because their tax bill came in, right? And their escrow paid it. Here's what happens a lot in these servicing centers. They're not in Indiana and they get the tax bills. And our tax bills are so low in 6 months. When they look at it, they think it might be a monthly amount. And then they goof up the payment. Then they have to go in and fix it because they're like, oh, it's $68 a half. Like they can't even get their brain around it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of the surrounding counties, like Howard's cheap, but I mean, like Miami County, Tipton County, I mean, you're looking at very, very inexpensive taxes there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't even make sense to people outside of our market. So, moral of the story, look, it's still a great investment. You should still be buying a home. We've seen the rates turn the corner. You know, we trended up from the beginning of the year throughout the whole summer. I mean, they just kept going and going and going. And Steve, you can probably agree with me. If you'd asked me back in January, what was the highest rate we have on the menu be to this year, I probably would have guessed somewhere in the mid fives.
Yeah, I was going to say around 5%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never 7, right? Like it's just insane. So we finally turned the corner. We're starting to see a little relief. I mean, there's still some crazy news that comes out here and there. But I think hopefully we've peaked on these rates and we're going to kind of hang out here, maybe dip at some point. At some point we should come back down. Let's talk about that. What's your prediction, Steve? What do you think on these rates dipping back into the fives? At what point do the feds kind of let up and do we get some relief?
Yeah, I think it's, so for me personally, I think this is going to be into 2023 a little ways because the feds are still looking at, our economy and they're trying to slow down spending. And it's at one of the worst times to try to slow down spending is around the holiday season. And it's because the government still put so much money into the economy with the stimulus money back in 2020 and even 2021 with child tax credits, that money's still coming from back in the economy and being spent today for Christmas. So I think Amazon posted $1 billion in sales or something on Black Friday, which breaks their record. So the feds are going to raise rates again in December. And then after they get the reports, because we're 30 days behind, it'll be January, February, is what they're still going to, I think, raise them. And then we're going to end up feeling the pain. Then it'll start to decrease some. So I think probably sometime second quarter, mm-hmm. 2023.
Do you think they'll ever get low, like into the twos?
I don't. I think that they'll go back down and end up someplace in that 4 to 5 point range and float around through, which is really, really affordable housing. In the overall scope, if you look at it back from like 1980 through like 2020, when they did it for that total period that they show on there, that if you look at the highs and the lows, the average is like 6.25%. So if you keep it there, then that's where most people would be able to have affordable housing, which would help us all out.
I agree with you. I think probably into spring, sometime in the summer, before we probably see that much of a change. And we might be optimistic on this, you know. I mean, you could ask 100 people in our industry what they think and probably get a bunch of different answers, but maybe I'm hopeful that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see, there you go.
We'll see these rates dip back down. We're also going to see, you know, you guys know this, we're going to see more homes hit the market when we do turn the corner in weather. You know, you get buyer fatigue and seller fatigue going into the winter, and people just don't want to deal with it when it's super, super cold out. So yeah, we'll get more inventory back. But yeah, I think that we hopefully, and I've seen other people post this social media, we've seen the worst. Maybe that's getting behind us now. Maybe we're going to start turning the corner a little bit. At least from our perspective, right? Because we're
It'd be small turns. We're not going to turn sharp. It's going to be a little bit of time in that curve.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you're thinking about buying a home, we've done several videos on this, kind of the process of getting pre-approved, talking to a real estate agent. You know, Erica, Melissa, you guys, I'm sure would love to help anybody out there.
Of course.
We've got your information down here so people can reach out to you. And obviously, we'll do our best to get clients pre-qualified, kind of show them what their options are. And like you said, Erica, I mean, yeah, people that we pre-approved in January, February, their buying power with those lower rates was a lot higher. So now all of a sudden it's like, man, you know, we don't qualify for 180. We only qualify for 140 now.
Right.
But that's part of it. It's just, it is what it is. And we kind of help people understand those options.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Well, hey, thanks guys for joining us again. And hopefully, you know, like down the road, we'll want to pull you guys back in to come up with some other topics that we can share going into 2023. And see sort of some updates on markets and numbers. So if you guys like this, make sure you like it, share, comment. And Erica and Melissa, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Have a great time. Thanks.
Thanks for being on. See ya. Next week, we'll be wrapping up our 2022 Show and Tell series with Dell Truex. He's the Veteran Service Officer at the Howard County Veteran Service Office. Dell will be sharing the many veteran benefits, who qualifies, and how to receive them. See you next week.